This is Stuart Moxham of Young Marble Giants, and you are listening to 90.7 FM WGXC Acre.
Hello, listeners. This is Black Ice Coffee with Night Moves, playing old vinyl, second and fourth Thursdays from 12 to 2. Sexy grooves, deep cuts, and, you know, there's always some Philip Lynott lying around. So tune in twice a month. 90.7 WGXC, Acre, Hudson, Catskill. So don't forget me. Second and fourth Thursdays, 12 to 2, Night Moves with Black Ice Coffee on WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the Healthcare Consortium, a rural health network dedicated to improving access to healthcare and supporting the health and well-being of the people in our rural community. Throughout 2018, the Healthcare Consortium will be celebrating 20 years of serving the residents of Columbia and Greene counties. To learn more about the Healthcare Consortium and its services, please visit www.columbiahealthnet.org or call 518-822-8820.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Holly Tanner, along with my wonderful co-host, Justin Weaver. Hi, Justin.
Yeah, that's me.
Shout out, happy birthday,
Thank
Justin.
Thank you very much.
He's a fabulous 21 again.
The second coming
Looking
of 21.
Looking marvelous. Thank you. Happy birthday to you.
Lots of moisturizer.
We're happy you're here.
Thank you.
So this is something to talk about on WGXC 90.7 FM, live local radio. We do have some special guests today. I'm trying to do this, but it's not working. Why isn't our aux working?
Uh-oh.
There it is.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, I love the bagpipe music. So, you know, I just wanted to start out, Justin and I, this afternoon. Today is September 12th, obviously, because you're listening to something to talk about. 17-year anniversary yesterday of September 11th.
Yeah.
Tragic attack on U.S. soil. So we just want to give a little remembrance to all those whose lives were lost in a senseless and horrible act of terrorism on our country. And the survivors and the families are in our prayers, and the victims, including all the first responders who willingly gave their lives to try and rescue people that day. You know, I can't even...
It kind of gets you like teary-eyed and welled up with emotion just thinking about that day. It's like a lot of us, we really had to... Oh, we have a call already.
Already? All right.
Yeah, we had to
hold
kind
that
of
thought, caller.
Put it
right
out of
in
our...
in the middle of our emotions.
Yes, yeah, we're trying to cry here. Hold on. No, what I'm saying is, you know, it really took a lot for Americans to just continue on day by day by kind of bearing it, but it's also important, you know, especially on the anniversary once a year, to remember, you know, what happened that day. You know, it would destroy us if we thought about it every single day of the year, but it's important to remember, and our hearts go out to everybody who still deals, you know, with the loss.
Absolutely. And I think, and I know there are people who do still deal with the loss. And so I also highly recommend, if you haven't been down to visit the location, the World Trade Center, the museum. I've said on Facebook, I said it, I think, one of our other shows, that I think it should be mandatory, especially for children and people who were born after 9/11/2001, because, like you said, Justin, we can't forget what happened, and we shouldn't forget what happened, and we would be doing those who lost their lives that day a disservice if we did forget. So I know I can't forget, and it's horrible. It's a it's really well done, the museum, so it's great in that way, but it's horrible that it even had to be there, and it's really emotional. Bring your tissues, but I do highly recommend that you go and see. So on that note, we're going to move on to happier topics.
Yeah,
we have with us today a fade out. I love bagpipes. Isn't that weird?
And we have a caller. So.
Oh, yeah, we have our caller.
Should we do a caller
first?
Let's
do the caller, if I recall. Okay, I think this is it. Hello, caller. Is it someone who wants to wish Justin a happy birthday?
Hello.
Did we lose you?
Caller. Do we have to hit anything over here?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
Hello, hello.
Okay.
All right, well, we can call back, caller.
Do we have to turn up a volume or something?
Well, wait. Hey, let's try that.
Caller, are you there?
Caller?
No.
Hello?
Okay.
I did have to hit that other button, but I missed my button. Okay. It's been a while since I've been here, folks, so, you know. Cut me a little slack. Caller, you please call back. I bet you I know why you're calling. You're probably wanting, it's probably Vern,
it's probably
wanting
Vern
to wish Justin a happy birthday, which is so sweet.
I'd imagine.
Call back, honey.
Yeah.
So we do have some guests with us today, and we're going to start off with Assemblyman Chris Taig, who represents the 102nd Assembly District. Justin and I are sharing a little private laugh. We'll talk about that offline. So welcome, Chris.
Well, hello, and happy birthday, Justin.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's an honor to be meeting you and having. Thank you for coming and joining our program.
Talk right into that microphone. We have. Oh, my God. What just happened? Were we attacked? Oh, look who's here.
Oh,
he's got some balloons.
What's this now? Oh, my God. I have KK from the Drive Time
Radio
Show. Hello, caller. Coming in with.
Hello.
Oh, we've got some bubbles.
Somebody's birthday.
Thank you.
I called this to wish Justin a happy birthday.
We knew it.
KK brought in, this looks like a helium tank. He's doing balloons. He's blowing bubbles at me.
Is he
we're going to do a balloon animal. All right. We only have an hour show, guys,
you know. We're not lucky enough to have a two-hour show. We have an important politician here.
So we're going to, while we make the balloon animal,
we're going to talk right over this. Thank you. Why does it have to be pink?
No, just
hey, Justin.
Yes, Vern.
I just called to wish you a happy birthday, man.
Thank you very much.
All jokes aside, we really appreciate you and your show, man. Drive Time wants to say happy birthday to
what
you.
What kind of animal is it? It is helium.
I wasn't thinking. Thank you, guys.
This is all random stuff I just found.
Yeah, I didn't know he was doing that.
This was entirely unplanned.
I have a glow stick. That's another assumption about me.
I want one.
Thank you. I see a theme here. Pink balloon, glow
awesome.
Sticks.
Yes,
you can take your tank. You can take your helium tank. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, Drive
that
Time.
That reminds us to make sure you turn into the Drive Time Radio Show
today
from 4 to 6. Thanks for calling in, Vern.
Yep.
Bye.
Thank you. Okay.
Right.
This is what happens, wow. Chris. So welcome.
We're setting the bar kind of high. My birthday's in January. Just saying. thank you, honey.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Okay, so
sorry
back
about
to our
that.
Regularly
I'd rather
scheduled
be here than
broadcast.
In Albany anyway.
That's right. See that? So, yeah, we have Chris Taig with us, who represents in Columbia County the towns of Stockport and Stuyvesant. But you also represent parts of numerous other counties, including Greene, which is in our listening area. So listen up, Greene County voters. Where else, Chris?
Yeah, I represent all of Greene County, all of Schoharie County, five towns in Delaware, of course, the two towns in Columbia, three towns in Albany County, and four towns in Otsego County. It's a big district. It's it runs from Saugerties, Saugerties in Ulster County as well. It runs from Saugerties all the way down to Cherry Valley one way in Otsego County, and then from Queemans in Albany County all the way across to Harpersfield in Delaware County.
That is a big district.
It's huge.
You put a lot of miles on your car and
I sure do.
Miles on your shoes. So tell us how you were elected. You ran already once this spring, is that correct?
Yep.
In a special election.
Yeah, Pete Lopez, who was my predecessor, was tapped as EPA director for District 2, which the governor called a special election on April 24th, and
And that's the Environmental Protection Agency.
Agency, yes. Yep. Yep. And I ran in a special election on April 24th, and I was elected to fill out his term. And then, of course, I'm running again in November for re-election.
And his term ends December 31st of this year.
That's correct.
And you defeated Democrat Aidan O'Connor.
Yes.
By a slim margin.
Yes.
It was pretty close.
Yeah, it was actually a three-way race. There was also a gentleman.
Yeah,
West,
there was a third
West,
party.
West
we never remember the third guy, do we?
Never do.
It's okay, as long as you're in the top two.
I do.
You do.
And actually, Wes was a Republican as well, so it was... You know, it was a three-way race, but there were really two Republicans running in the race. So.
And here again, you're going to be facing, your opponent's going to be Aidan O'Connor again
sure
in November.
Is. Yep.
Okay. Now, for somebody like me, now Holly knows everything there is to know about politics, but for me and some listeners that have no clue what an assemblyman does, can you tell us what the assembly is and what an assemblyman or assembly person does?
Well, I think it's different for different areas. In our area, it's more of a constituency-based position. You know, I spend my time, you know, I retired from my job when I ran. I said I was going to be a full-time assemblyman. That's what I do. So it's 7 days a week, whether it's constituent meetings in one of the district offices or if it's meetings out in the district at a location or if it's going to events. You know, you're in Albany from January till June during session, but the rest of the time, you're out amongst the people. At least that's what I do, doing the work and helping them, whether it's getting them getting red tape out of the way for them with different departments within the state. You know, we spend a lot of time putting people in contact with different departments, whether it's DEC, Department of Health. You know, we're there to help them. Sometimes it's even with our federal folks. You know, we'll take information down and we'll get them in contact with their congressperson or one of the departments with, you know, Department of Agriculture. All depends on what the issue is. But that's how my office runs. We're there to help. We don't care who you are. And when you come to my office, 9 out of 10 times, there's a good chance you're going to meet with me, not a staff member. We schedule most of the meetings so I can be there to actually talk to the folks.
So you're very hands-on.
That's been my whole life. That's mm-hmm. what I'm, you know, listen. I'm a regular, ordinary, everyday person. I come from a hard-working, blue-collar family. I worked in the shop with my grandfather when I was 10 years old.
That would be Big Poppy.
You got it. You know all about that.
I do my research.
And good.
That's why she keeps me around.
And
one of many reasons.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
My grandfather was a World War II vet. Mm-hmm. And he actually asked my he thought he was going to Japan for an amphibious landing. And he actually, he was home from Europe on leave, and he and my grandmother were in New York City on VJ Day. And when it came across the ticker tape that the Japanese had surrendered, he asked my grandmother to marry him. So So if anybody's upset that I'm their assemblyman, you'll have to blame my grandfather.
Is he still alive?
And you'll have to end him for the, and you'll have to blame him for ending World War II.
Okay. Well, you're, is he still alive?
No, he passed away in 1984.
Okay.
Yep. No, he
my
was.
My condolences. I know it's a long time, but
he was my hero. He was the one that instilled hard. You know that. You know it takes hard work to get places.
Yep.
You know, like I said, I'm not a millionaire. I'm not a billionaire. Some days I'm not even a thousandaire.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've worked hard my whole life. I'm not a Harvard, Yale, or Princeton graduate. Actually, I don't even have a college education. One of the biggest parts of education that I had was the BOCES system. I went to BOCES for ag mechanics my junior and senior year of high school. But when I became a dairy farmer, actually my senior year of high school, I bought my first bought cows, and I was a dairy farmer until 1993. Then I started out when I sold the farm. I went to work for a heavy highway construction material producer and company that actually does heavy highway.
Mm-hmm.
I started at the bottom as a laborer. I literally shoveled stone in a stone quarry. And I worked my way to the top, and I retired after I won the special election for state assembly. I retired after 25 and a little bit of change years. But I worked my way from a laborer up to general manager mm-hmm. When I retired.
Now, Chris, this wasn't your first foray into public service. Is that correct?
No, I was also a town supervisor in the town of Schoharie. I ran in a three-way race. I must have three-way written all over my head.
Hey, that's a different show.
You came to the right show. Yeah.
Well, I ran for town supervisor, and I ran against an incumbent that had been a town councilman and then town supervisor 8 years total as an incumbent. And I ran against him and another lady, I won by 10 and 11 points. But again, it was from hard work. It's the same way I did it in the special election. You know, I knocked down over 5,000 doors myself. That doesn't count all the volunteers and supporters that I had. And that's the type of person I am. I'm a grassroots guy. I'm just an ordinary, everyday person.
Now, you're still chairman of
Schoharie County Republican Committee.
Okay. Yep. And where is Schoharie for those of us that are geographically challenged?
Well, if you go down,
I don't know where it is.
If you go down Route 145 in Greene County, okay, you're going to go into just a little bit of Albany County, right towards the end on the right at the intersection of 81, and when you go through Cooksburg, and then you're going to get to the town of Broome. Through Preston Hollow, and then as you go into the town of Broome, there's a sign right on the right-hand side says Schoharie County.
Okay.
So it's west and north of us.
Yes.
So
is that like Cobleskilly area?
Yeah. Okay.
Sure. Howe Caverns.
Howe Caverns, okay.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, that seems like two humongous hats that you're wearing right there, assemblyman and chairman of Schoharie County. Are you able to do both?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I've worked my whole life. Mm-hmm. I never turn away a challenge, and you know by doing this full time, it allows me to do everything. And here's another thing: you have to have good people around you and with you.
Yeah,
I have two vice chairmen at the Republican Committee. We have a Secretary of Treasury, and we have a committee of 52 people. So you know, my experience has led me to be the chairman is because I've been running campaigns since I was 12 years old.
Well, I think it also from reading up on you, the thing I was impressed most with is your resiliency, because in 2011, I believe you lost everything.
Yep.
In the hurricanes. You want to talk about what happened? And
sure.
You rebuilt everything and just kept going. And I think that's a testament. Without knowing you, I see that as a testament to the kind of person you are.
Well, nothing's ever, like I said before, I'm not a Harvard, Yale, or Princeton graduate. I'm an everyday, ordinary person that loves my country, loves my state, and I want to make a life here. This is where I came. And when the flood hit, I could have just easily packed up and went somewhere else. I could have moved out of the state. You know, I was a general manager in my company. I have a lot of experience and education with regards to that field of work. I could have went anywhere. Mm-hmm. But I loved my job there. I loved the people I worked with. I loved my community. And I made a decision that the best thing for me was to rebuild. So we rebuilt our home. We actually rebuilt our life. It was that event that actually, I never saw myself actually running for public office. I was always the person, you know, my father told me when I was a kid a long time ago, it's always great to be the king maker and never the king. Mm-hmm. And I kind of always lived by that.
Sage advice right there.
Yeah. And I you know, after the flood and I saw people suffering and nobody really knew what they were going to do or how they were going to do it. And I went to a town board meeting probably about a year after, you know, we started to rebuild, and I had actually just moved. Actually, today is the 12th, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Today is the anniversary of me moving back into my house in 2012.
Wow.
So, yeah, September 12th, 2012, I actually moved. I spent the first night back in my house.
Wow.
That's awesome.
But I went to a town board meeting, and I had asked some questions about, you know, when you're in business, you see things. And it was more of, I was trying to be helpful and ask questions, and was there things that the community could do to help? And to be honest, the supervisor at the time was very rude to me, mm-hmm, and wouldn't answer any of the questions, and he went around me. And so
wow.
So I went home and I said to Dana, I said, listen, I said, you're not going to believe this, but I think I'm going to run for town supervisor.
That's awesome.
And she said, are you crazy? With everything else you got to do, I said, listen, if you don't try and you don't put an effort forth, you're never going to know. I said, I think we can do better here. And I decided to run. And I was elected. And I'll tell you, I consider it a very successful 2 years and 3 or 4 months that I was town supervisor. Of course, I had to step down when I was elected to the assembly.
Right.
But, you know, we took a community that had no growth since 2011, which rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
In 2016, I was able to cut the budget, cut taxes by, although it was only 0.7%, it still was a tax cut.
Yep.
I was able to stay under the tax cap both years. And we were able to bring 3 new businesses to a community that hadn't seen growth in years. And I was reading a report a couple of weeks ago that for the first time since 2011, Schoharie Central Schools also saw growth, which is a big thing because if you look around all our school districts.
They're losing population.
Yeah, in New York State right now, we're losing population. So to me, and I'm not saying for 1 minute that I'm the one completely responsible for it, but I had good people. Again, I've always been able to put good people around me, and I always say we work together.
Mm-hmm.
The people that I had that worked with me on the town, my highway superintendent, I give him a gold star. You know, one of the reasons why we were able to do what we did with the budget and cut taxes was because of he and I's good working relationship, and that he wanted the same thing that I did. He wanted to do the best that we possibly could for our community.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's about.
Well, in reading up, I do see that some key points that you are very much behind when it comes to your issues that you're all about is broadband, internet, agriculture, the heroin and opioid epidemic, and the economic development and infrastructure. If you want to touch on a few of those.
Sure. I think with the heroin and opioids, number one is, I think the problem is lack of awareness and lack of education. And we really, really need to work harder at that. And that's where the money needs to be spent. You know, the Narcan and the Narcan training, that is all great. Don't get me wrong, because it's important. Mm-hmm. But we got to stop it before it gets there.
Right.
That's the problem. So, you know, what we're doing right now, what I've been working on, I actually was part of a group in Schoharie County called the Heroin and Opioid Epidemic Committee, and, or Task Force, mm-hmm. is actually. And I joined it my first day in office as town supervisor because, to be honest, I knew it was a problem, but I didn't know anything about it. So I figured it was my duty as an elected official to find out as much as I possibly could and to be a part of the solution, not complain about it, and not do anything to help. So I joined that, and I learned so much. I have had 2 family members. One is deceased, and another one has been sober for 12 or 13 years now. And I saw how this rips apart a family.
Right.
And so I joined that in hopes that I would be able, at my level, first as town supervisor and now as state assembly, do things to help out. And we're actually right now looking and working at a long-term care facility in Schoharie County. That, by the way, would be able to help out Columbia County, Greene County, Schenectady, Otsego, Delaware, all the surrounding counties. You know, we're looking at something upwards of 100 to 150 bed facility. And that's,
wow,
that's another problem that people don't realize. A lot of people do get short-term recovery help. But that's the problem.
Right.
It's short-term recovery. They
There's
need
no long-term.
Exactly. Yeah. They need 18 months at least. And then the other problem is, and I don't know a lot about it, but it's a problem, is the insurance. That's something that we have to work at, and especially as legislators in Albany, we have to make sure that we hold the insurance companies responsible and do their due diligence to help these folks
right.
out.
How do you feel about prosecuting the dealers?
I think, I signed on to a bill, actually, the death to dealers bill that would prosecute the dealers much more harshly than what's being done now. It's that Those are the people we need to be going after, the enablers.
Right.
Not the people that are sick. And I say this, being addicted to heroin, it's a sickness. It's an illness. It's just like having heart disease, cancer. People don't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
It's an addiction. And a lot of people, they want to be off of it. They want to stop. They just can't. They need
right.
the help.
Right.
But enablers cost this country and this state billions of dollars at the end of the year. And those are the people that we need to go after. We need to get the stuff off the street.
And do you think doctors should be held accountable with all of these prescriptions they're pushing?
Absolutely. I didn't see the whole program last night, but I got, as you know, I do travel a lot. I got home a little late, but there was a little blurb on TV last night, and I think it was Channel 6 News, CBS Channel 6 News, where they actually had we're going to either air a program or it aired a little bit before I got home, that actually showed how much overprescribing and how easy it is to get a prescription by doctors. So absolutely, yes.
I would imagine that HIPAA laws would need to be updated.
Yes.
If we're going to, you know, go after doctors who overprescribe. What's your thoughts on that? I mean, there's a privacy when it comes to doctor-patient.
Well, I think it would have to come out from the patient.
Yeah, I think
you'd have to be forthcoming.
And I think, and that's some of it. That goes along with what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
People who suffer the sickness are afraid to tell.
Right.
Because, first of all, they think that
they're going to go to jail.
Right, right.
Second, they're embarrassed.
Yeah.
And this is where I say money needs to be spent on education and awareness and assure these people, listen, we know you're sick. We want to help you.
Yeah.
And that's when they need to come clean and say, you know, Dr. So-and-so, I could just call from home and he'd prescribe me 60 more pills.
Yep.
That's, you know, we've got to stop this stereotyping and people being so worried about, listen, when you need help, you need help. And people have to be assured that there are people there to help them.
What are some of your other heartfelt causes, Chris, that you've been working on or that you're
I think broadband, you want to focus on when you're reelected? I think broadband, I mean, the most important to me is ethics reform. You know, we had a governor that ran back in 2010 that promised that New York State was going to turn into the most ethical state in the country, and it's been quite the contrary.
Mm.
Don't you see that a lot with politicians, though? I mean, you've been in office now and on this level as assemblyman since April, so it's a short amount of time. Are you seeing that people change their, you know, everything they said before they got elected, now they're elected and they're not doing anything? Because you seem like you're not going to be that type of person, but everybody always seems like that kind of person until they're elected, and then they do, you know, they want to keep their position.
Well, this is what I'll say. I've been there a very short period of time for me to comment on, but I can tell you this. I've met good people on both sides of the aisle that we may have a difference of opinion or policy, but I think they believe wholeheartedly in what they're doing, and they think they're doing the right thing. And those people I applaud. It's the people, and then I'll get into one of the things that is near and dear to my heart as far as legislation goes. I think we get folks that are in there for 20, 25, 30 years, and they figure, oh, I can get away with this once. And then once they get away with it, they continue to do it and do it. And it's not just one party.
Right.
You know, we had Dean Skelos, Sheldon Silver, members, leaders from two different parties, but they get away with it. Listen, it's like I said to you before, I didn't do this. This isn't about Chris Tagg. This is about being the assemblyman, being effective. People say to me all the time, you know, Pete Lopez, you got big shoes to fill. Well, the good news is I wear a size 14 and a half shoe. But
close to mine.
Yeah, but the thing is that Pete was effective.
Yes.
And that's what at the end of the day, when I'm done, and someday I'm going to wake up in the morning, I'm going to say, you know what, I've done everything I can do, I'm tired out, it's time for somebody else to take over.
Well, and that's why you put a cap on your, how long that you could be in that position. You put six two-year term limits where the position, there's no cap on how long somebody can be an assemblyman.
Exactly.
So that just shows that you're not going to just be comfortable in the position,
right.
And get away with something and just stay there.
I've already had one career in my, well, actually two careers. I was a dairy farmer and then in the heavy highway construction industry. So I've already had a career. Mm-hmm. I did this to give back. I wasn't able to serve in the military. This is my way of giving back and doing good for my country and for my state. And that's why I'm doing this. But there's going to come a day where I'm not going to be able to be as effective anymore. And that's the day I say I'm done and let somebody new come in with new ideas. And that's why I term limited myself. And actually, Chris Gibson, our former congressman, mm-hmm. he set the bar for that because
yes,
he term limited himself as well.
Yeah,
and I would call myself a Chris Gibson Republican because Chris Gibson's a very dear friend, and he's somebody I think that all public officials should emulate is Chris Gibson. He's a great man, and it doesn't matter, Democrat or Republican, people liked Chris Gibson because mm-hmm. he walked the walk, but he talked the talk, but he also walked the walk. And but the biggest thing is we had a bill in the assembly called the Public Officers Accountability Act.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it did not get passed. But there are a lot of items that I think need to be passed, and they need to be passed bipartisanly. But
how are public officials not being ethical, and in what ways?
Well,
does
I mean,
that
you've
need to-
you've seen with the pay to play schemes.
Again, I think we only have an hour long show.
Oh, right. Yes. We do have other guests. Sorry about that.
I was saying, we could talk about that
all day. Yeah, we should have had him on the whole entire show.
We could talk about ethics issues all day.
I think the POAA, the point I'm trying to get across, and I'll make it real brief, mm-hmm. is it would create term limits for both houses, the Assembly and the Senate, mm-hmm. plus the executive chamber. No more than 2 4-year terms for the executive branch. No more than 6 2-year terms for the Senate and the Assembly. It would bring more transparency to the House. No more 3 men in a room for the budget. Fight against the failed economic development programs that we've seen lately. And also, if you are a public official and you're convicted of a crime, a felony, you lose your retirement, your benefits.
Well, amen. Good.
And I think that
be, yeah.
doesn't happen.
You know, because this is why people become career politicians, because
it's really no downside.
Exactly. And I
get
to
away
me
without murder.
To me, I think if you want to clean things up, listen. The founding fathers never meant for people to be
it's
in office.
True. Yep.
They never meant for them to be in office for life.
Very
right.
true.
You were supposed to go serve your time just like you do in the military
yeah.
or anything else. Do your time, get out, let somebody else be in there. Do your job, get out, and you know, hopefully we live all a happy life.
Well, I like the way
so
that
So how
sounds.
Is the campaign going, Chris?
It's going, of course, it's my campaign, so I think it's going great. But, you know, we're working hard. You know, I travel.
Is there any debates planned?
Nothing
no?
that I know of.
Okay.
I can tell you right now, my schedule is, I checked the other day, I know I'm booked right till October 29th.
Well, we're especially happy
yeah,
that you fit us in.
Glad you were
yeah.
able to come
now,
in.
Now, you are on the ballot in the primary tomorrow.
No,
you're not.
No.
You're running on a post.
Right. I'm on the Republican.
No.
So we'll see
no
you
no
in November.
Yeah,
right.
I'm on
right.
the Republican, Conservative, Independence,
and Reform,
Party lines. In November.
Right,
so I'm already
right.
on those 4 ballots.
So why
lines.
Do you want to go back, Chris?
To finish what I started. I mean, I've only been there since May. I want the opportunity to, you know, to do good things for people. You know, like I said, we don't ask people when they come into our office who they are or what party they're from. That question's never asked. We ask them what their issue is and what can we do to help them. Or they ask us if we can help them. And that's what I want to do. I want to be able to help people.
And that's across the board, gay, straight, black, white.
Oh, we were going to touch on that issue, the social issues.
Absolutely.
Justin, weren't we? Where you stood on...
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, because for me as a voter, I always want to know how the candidate stands on LGBT
gay
issues.
Right? LGBT
are you comfortable mm-hmm. talking about any stance that you might have?
Listen, I have a young man that my fiance and I took in when he was 16 years old. He's lived with us. He's our son.
Uh-huh.
He's openly gay.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter to
good.
Us. We don't listen. That's the whole some of the problem with this country. If we worried less about social issues and worried about the things that are going on in Albany and Washington that really really matter to people,
yeah.
like how much money, how much they have to pay in taxes, okay, that's what we should be worried about. Whether I'm gay, you're gay, that doesn't mean anything to me. And I think a lot of time is wasted on stuff like that, because I see you as a human being.
Yeah.
That's what I see you as. And
my boyfriend sees me as a monster.
Really? Well, I'm going
to
tell him different. And I hope he got you a good birthday present.
You know, he gave me coffee today with spoiled milk, but it can only go better from there.
That's important to hear, Chris. Yeah. Thanks for sharing.
It's not an issue. Yes. It's just not. If people,
it is refreshing because you don't ever hear politicians taking a stance on that. At least I don't. Right. It is.
Present company excluded.
Right. Well, you do,
I'm not
of
really
course.
A politician.
No,
so.
You're my friend, servant, first and foremost. But also my boss, and also my
typically not a Republican. Something that so
it's just
that,
nice
that
to
is
hear from, you know,
to
yeah,
hear
from somebody running, because that's what that's be. Always one issue that's skirted around,
right?
In all the debates, they never want to talk about it because that's too hot button,
right?
It's too okay. I'm putting all my chips here, and it could go against me. Right. But it's actually from a gay person. It's very refreshing to hear you say that. So I appreciate that.
I have too many more. I have too many important things to deal with every day in my life than to worry about what a person's feelings are.
Right.
I care about what people's feelings are. They have a right. That's part of being Americans. That's what this country was built on. You're allowed to have your own feelings and your own beliefs.
Yep.
And you need to respect that. You need to respect everybody's feelings and beliefs. If you can't, then you're not a person that should be representing people. Yeah. And that's just the way I feel. You and I may disagree on some of the issues, but I can tell you right now, I always treat you with respect. I'll explain my position on it, but it doesn't mean that after we're done here, we can't go have a cup of coffee. We can't be friends. I can't send you a birthday card.
Or a shot of tequila. It is my birthday.
Okay.
He wants a little shot in that coffee, not spoiled milk.
No, we do have a couple more guests. Is there anything else we didn't touch on that you want to talk
about? Anything else you want to leave us with, Chris?
I just want to say thank you.
We'd love to have you back on.
Yeah, appreciate your time.
Anytime. I really appreciate the opportunity to come on here. I would ask folks if they're interested in our campaign or in this race, to please go to my Facebook page, Chris Tagg for New York State Assembly, and my website is right on the Facebook page. And
actually right now, I believe the closest district office is in Greene County, Catskill.
Yep,
is there a phone number for that?
I don't have it right off the top of my head, but there is we do have a district office, which is our main office, is in Catskill.
Right.
And the office in Schoharie, we also have a satellite office in Schoharie. And we have the office at the Capitol at the LOB.
And you can go to TAGUE for assembly.com. And I think we have a phone number here, Chris.
I sure do. It's 518-943-1371. That's 518-943-1371.
So
and that is the district office for Catskill.
For Catskill. So Columbia County people, Greene County, because you have some other district offices as well.
Yep,
right?
Schoharie. We have one in Schoharie, one in Catskill, and one in Albany at the LOB.
Right, okay.
Very I'm good, usually, so. Most of the time, I am at the Catskill office because Greene County is the biggest part of the district.
Okay.
And it's kind of in the center. I can get over to Columbia County. I can get to Delaware County.
Right.
From Catskill, the easiest. And then Schoharie is our other office because we can kind of take care of Albany and Otsego through there. But again, honor and a pleasure to be here with you folks.
Thanks, Chris, very much.
I wish it was my birthday, Justin.
Well, it can be if you come out and join the festivities.
I could have played that song, but it's not appropriate for the radio.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. Say it's your birthday. Thank you, Chris, very much for being here. We appreciate your time. If you're a current constituent and you have any issues, you can call that number and speak with Chris or one of his staff, and he's here to help. So.
Thank you.
Good luck,
Thank
Chris.
Good luck. Best of
All
luck.
Right, we'll
Thank
talk you. To you soon. That was Chris Tagg, Assemblyman from the 102, representing Greene County and Stockport and Stuyvesant here in Columbia County, among other places. So we are going to take a little musical break. This has been Something to Talk About with Holly and Justin, right here on 90.7 FM, live local radio, in honor of our dear Justin. I hope I'm going to play a birthday song. So we will be right back with additional music or guests. We'll be right back.
What could fit more perfectly than to have a world party on the day you came to be? Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. I just never understood how a man who died for good could not have a David Wood.
Happy birthday, Justin.
Thank you.
Oh, you're having such a good day. So that was,
I am.
That was the legendary Stevie Wonder with Happy Birthday in your honor there, sweetie. Welcome back. This is Something to Talk About with Holly Tanner and the birthday boy, one
Justin Weaver.
Justin Weaver here on 90.7 FM WGXC. So we just did a quick guest change. We said sayonara for now to Chris Taig, and we're saying hello to Christine Abitabel and Andy
Baker.
Andy Baker, welcome. And you guys are here to talk to us about the Day of Hope. So
where did this come from?
Day of Hope.
How did this start?
This stemmed back to my very first days at Price Chopper, actually. I had a
Remember you working at the customer service counter?
Yes.
The one in Greenport?
Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
Years ago.
Okay. Years ago.
Yes. Started as a small little bake sale out on the sidewalk. And
so let's say the Day of Hope is a making strides against breast cancer. So it's to help victims of breast cancer, right? It's a fundraiser. So you started out with a bake sale, and now you've turned it into this big gala.
Now it's turned into something that I couldn't handle anymore, so I now have a committee.
Yay.
Thank goodness.
And you picked a great person for the committee. She's an expert at all things event-related. Miss Christine is.
Thank you.
Yes.
Of Flag Day fame.
Yay. We should tell people, first and foremost, that this is happening. This is the 8th annual. This is the 8th annual.
Great.
And it's happening on Saturday, October 6th at Greenport Town Park from 10 a.m. till 4 p.m. And you guys have a million different people offering up things for raffles and different vendors, and you have local talent. Why don't you guys tackle that and tell us?
Yeah, what's going on?
What kind of things can we bid on?
And is this rain or shine?
It is rain or shine.
Very good.
Let's
okay.
hope not for rain.
Well, we'll pray for no rain, but you know the weather these days has been.
I just want to preface this with the days of the parking lot bake sale. And the few events that were going on a small scale started to grow. Mm-hmm. And we actually outgrew the space. I shouldn't say we, because I wasn't part of the committee at that point.
Yeah.
But
there was no committee until this year.
And then
committee of one, right?
Yes.
When Price Chopper decided that it wasn't best for us to continue to use the parking lot, we had to reach out for another spot. So Andy secured the Greenport Town Park with much assistance from Barbara.
Thanks to Barbara Grohl. Right. Yes.
Oh, very nice.
Oh, we love Barbara.
Yes, yeah. We love Barbara.
She's just a helper.
Shout out.
I love you, Barbara.
And after the event and all the work and the vendors, and Andy said, this is just so much energy,
right.
You know. And I don't know whether or not I can do this. And we're going, oh my goodness, this was like the best one ever. It has to get
you
better
can't stop
than this.
Now.
You can't stop now.
You have to put it into perspective, because 3 years ago we started the vendors.
Right.
3 years ago it was in the Chatham Price Chopper parking lot.
Oh, wow.
We had 11 vendors.
Wow.
Last year we moved it to the Greenport Town Park and had 29.
Wow.
And how many do you have this year?
52.
Oh, my Lord.
And I've been checking in with your Facebook page,
yes.
And I know you've put a stop to vendors because you had so many, but you keep on moving
that date that people have until they get their
that's impressive.
Their raffles in.
The raffles. So how many people do you expect to see?
Hopefully several hundred.
Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. I have to ask before we get into all of the vendors and everything, was this a personal mission for you?
Yes.
Can you address it? We love it if you can cry on air, but okay.
My best friend, Corinne Lasher, started the bake sales back when I was in Price Chopper. She's a breast cancer survivor.
Oh, good.
Okay.
Oh,
yeah. So I started it with her, and then when I moved from the Hudson Price Chopper to Catskill, I took it on my own. I started a big event in the parking lot, and then it just
Oh, that's nice. Grew and that's grew. Nice. Yeah, because we all have somebody in our lives who've been impacted by
cancer
in general, but that's also specifically breast cancer. I can think of five people right off the top of my head, which is horrible.
Well, and the event means a lot to a lot of people.
Yeah.
Well, and we should give credit to where credit is due.
Wonderful.
Because these are your words and your acknowledgments, in addition to Christine for convincing you to keep this going, because you were tired, you wanted to take a break, you were thinking about doing that.
Absolutely.
But Christine stepped up along with Samantha McCarthy, Sarah Novak, Dan Gregory, Michelle Miller, Deb Stein, Terry Osterhout, Jacqueline Kappmeyer Vogel, Rebecca Elliott Clark, and Andrea P. Pratt. And you named those people yourself, so I figured we would shout them out on the air as well.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
They are all a big help this year.
Yes. When they found out that Andy was considering maybe not doing the event this year, they said, no, this can't happen. And
well, it takes a village. Awesome. I have goosebumps. So I don't know.
It does. And after last year's event,
he won't answer the phone.
I believe I created a monster after last year's event. And then we look at this year's
monster.
And it's even bigger.
Yeah, a good monster.
Really. And of course, I'm there courtesy of my husband's donation of fried dough.
Oh,
oh, fried dough. Well, that's going to bring people just that
we
alone.
We will have fried dough.
Get there early.
I was just talking about weight issues with a friend earlier. And like, was, no, me. Oh. And I said, well, you know, it was the fair. And I did partake several times of the fabulous Antonio's fried dough at the fair, you know, at least
three
times.
Out, so there's no
calories. That's right.
Oh,
yeah.
Good. That's good to know.
That's good.
It's a secret recipe.
It's delicious.
Just remember, get there early because it does sell out.
I bet
quick.
You it sells out fast.
It's hard to make that much dough and not have an Isle of Lucy adventure with all of it puffing out of the cooler. You know?
And it's good when you make that much dough and you make that much dough as a result.
Yes.
Speaking of making that much dough, this is a great segue, Justin. Thank you. How much dough are you looking to raise? Do you have a goal?
My goal for this year is 6,000.
And what'd you do last year?
5.
Okay. So have you been seeing a steady increase
every
each year?
Yes.
Okay. Good.
And the vendors have been tremendous attribute.
You've almost doubled your vendors, so that's is impressive.
And everyone donates, well, not only the raffle items, but like the fried dough is donated. So even though people are paying for the fried dough, all of that money goes to cancer.
Well, I was going to ask, where exactly is the money going? I mean, it's going to cancer research, cancer awareness, but do you have a specific organization? Do you give it to?
It goes to the American Cancer Society and the Making Strides efforts.
100%.
100%.
Of all, wow.
I take the money with me up to the Making Strides
walk
in Albany.
Is it too late to make a donation?
Absolutely not.
Because your county clerk would like to make a
donation. Oh, Holly Tanner is always good for opening her pocketbook.
Well,
I'm good for opening my mouth, but she's good for she's the pocketbook.
No, I would love to make a donation
for my
dear Lisa Keneally, who works for me, and she's a survivor as well.
Right.
So
that's awesome.
Oh, great. That's great.
Yeah, I'm going to make a donation for her.
Because
we do want to do whatever we can to stop this dreadful disease, because cancer just sucks. I can say that word in the air, right? Sucks.
Well, we did, and we're going to face.
And you know, not only does Christine and Phil donate the fried dough, but we also have Otto Meyer, the owner of O's Eatery, that donates all the hamburgers and hot dogs and comes to the event and cooks them.
Wow, fabulous.
So we have hot dogs, hamburgers, fried dough. What else? Sausage and peppers.
I'm clearing my schedule as we speak
to
make sure I can show up.
And a bake sale.
There's a bake sale.
Sale.
Oh,
So all sorts of food, all sorts of vendors and raffles, and face painting.
Face painting. Face painting.
So bring the kids.
Lisa Wood, right? Is Lisa doing it?
No, face painting by Crystal.
By Crystal. Yes. Do we want to run down the list of vendors so people, you know, can
How about an idea? Yeah.
Or just
there's
yeah,
how many
pick,
of
out,
them?
Pick 50, out a few, maybe.
Or what are some samples?
Okay. So we have, let's see. We
Tupperware.
Have Tupperware. We have Scentsy. Go ahead. We'll go
Pampered
back.
Pampered Chef.
Tarot card readings.
Saucy Boy LLC.
Norwex.
Upstage Productions.
Tastefully Simple.
Rebecca's Custom Creations.
Arbonne.
Clover Reach Massage.
Jacqueline's Balm.
To the Curb and Back.
Avon.
Columbia Green Community College.
Humble Signs.
Old Rustic Crow.
Pris Precious Designs.
Mary Beth's Monograms and More.
So, S-E-W-E-Z Creations. So easy.
Sincerely
like
Dedicated Company.
Young Living Essential Oils.
Sprinkles Cupcakes.
Oh, who doesn't like sprinkles? Okay, so
very
there's just
nice.
A taste of
sampling of yes. the vendors that you can find. There are how many? 53?
52.
52 vendors. Very nice.
And then there's entertainment yes. throughout oh. the entire time.
Metaverse oh, yeah, with Sean Delaney is performing
yes,
live.
Yes, we had them on here. Okay. And we should say that Breast Cancer Awareness Month is a yearly campaign, and it's intended to educate people about the importance of early screening, testing, and more. Mm. And this campaign starts on October 1st and ends on October 31st every year. Now, is this the only event that you are a part of?
Yes.
Because the work that goes into it is just
it's
astronomical.
It's an all-year event.
Okay.
All it must be the planning, event. Yeah, yes, absolutely.
And
would have
how
to be.
Are we with the numbers? Are we making strides with breast cancer cures or keeping people here? Let's see. I know. Okay. Do you want to answer?
Do you have some statistics?
I do have some.
Oh. Justin's here, asking,
go for it. Go for it.
Asking his own question. Here, let me interview you, Justin. So, Justin.
I gave my stats. Yeah. No. Well, I think it's important because about 1 in 8 women in the U.S., that's about 12.4%, will develop invasive breast cancer over the course of her lifetime. Now, do you guys get regular mammograms? And my mom yes. used to call it mammogram, I think.
I missed my appointment this year, so I have to reschedule it. Yeah. I was naughty in that way. But I do want to emphasize, yeah, it is very important. Yes. Women don't skip your mammogram appointment. And actually, it's law that if you're working, if you're not retired or a homemaker, if you are employed, your employer, there might be limits about the number of employees, but there, I know I have to. If my employee has a mammogram, we don't charge time. You don't have to charge time, like sick time, to go get your mammogram. That was a state law that was signed several years ago. So it is important. And actually, I'm just thinking of another employee that I lost because she did not get a mammogram. And yeah, Enid.
Well,
may she rest in peace.
That's right. Yeah. So this is it's a really message for everybody listening. Just
although men can get breast cancer.
Yes, and that's in here as well. Let's see. About 2,550 new cases of invasive breast cancer are expected to be diagnosed in men in 2018. A man's lifetime risk of breast cancer is about 1 in 1,000.
Yeah.
So, okay.
So what's the website? I see there's a website listed here, dayofhopehudson.simplesite.com. Is that where we can go to learn more about your event? Or
the best place to go to learn more about the event is actually the event page on Facebook.
Facebook is fabulous.
That is updated every day with all the raffle items, all the vendors, all right. anything
Very
you need
good.
To know.
Is there a charge for parking?
No charge for parking.
Okay. So is there some... I'm sure you're going to need help with parking because everybody that's listening is going to come, right?
Yes.
Everybody wants you badly.
Oh my God. Okay. Hi, Don. I'm live on the air on 90.7 FM.
So now he is going to answer his call.
I'll call you right back.
He really wants you.
Everybody wants to wish me a happy birthday.
That's so nice.
I'm sure.
So, yes. So, find on Facebook, and it's Day of Hope 2018.
Yeah. For people that don't know where Greenport Town Park is, that's important. Where is it?
413 Jocelyn Boulevard.
All right. So, that's if you go up past the Hudson High School, you bear to the left, right?
Yep.
And you just keep on... Correct, I should say. You bear to the left, correct?
The left, right?
And then you just continue on out that road. That's Jocelyn that you're on for people that don't know.
Right.
And then it's going to end up on your left-hand side. And you pull in...
Right. Okay. A lot of parking.
You literally will not be able to miss the entrance because we have a fabulous display this year right at the entrance that is being constructed.
Yes, we are having the Letters of Hope.
Oh, that's awesome.
Constructed right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that wonderful?
Big white painted wooden letters spelling out hope.
Wow.
Will be by the road.
I would tell everybody, make sure you do the speed limit on Joslyn because there's always cops there making sure that everybody's safe. So you want to go 30 or less.
Follow the speed limits. Yeah.
Now we have other live performances happening besides Sean Delaney's Metaverse. We have Christina with her...
Christina will be DJing in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
We have Zumba with Mary at 10:30.
Oh, that's always good.
So people could come and work out.
Yeah.
We have the band Parallel playing right before Sean at 10.
Wow.
Okay. And what kind of music is that?
I'm
Parallel.
I'm
not quite sure.
You'll
have to come to find out.
It will be new for me as well.
Okay. That's good. And what else we have?
And we also have Columbia Elite All-Stars dancing in the afternoon.
Columbia Elite All-Stars. Those are little gymnastics, right?
Oh, very nice.
Yep.
Yes. Awesome.
Something for everyone.
We have also reached out to a few of the local school districts because there are a lot of students that need community service. So we're giving them the opportunity to come and assist our vendors in setting up in the morning and also with the parking.
Oh, good.
Because the macadamed parking area will be strictly for handicap.
Oh, right.
And
okay.
The other parking will be probably on part of the lawn.
Right.
Yeah, so the grass.
Off to the side
it
there.
It has
yeah.
to be monitored so that we can. Yeah. We do need help there. So hopefully we'll get a lot of volunteers.
I was going to say, can people still volunteer?
Yes.
If they're
sure
listening and they just want to show up and help out, they can.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right.
Or students looking for community service credits.
Yes, we will be happy to fill out whatever
we'll
paperwork.
We'll happily sign any form to give you community service.
Well, that's awesome.
Okay.
Great. Well, it sounds like a fun day.
Yeah.
For
so
a good cause.
Once again, this is going to be Saturday, October 6th. It runs from 10 till 4. This is the Day of Hope. This is the eighth year in a row that we're doing this. Andy Baker founded this, and he's got assistance from a bunch of friends, including Christine Abitabel of Upstage Production fame. And do you want to do a shameless plug on what's coming up with Upstage?
Oh, a shameless plug.
A shameless plug.
Yes, we are doing the 25th annual Putnam County Spelling Bee, which is a very modern type production. That is what we call the Upstage After Dark because it has a bit of promiscuity.
Ooh. So this is like rated PG-13.
So it's PG-16.
Oh, my.
Well, Holly and I want front row seats to that one.
You watch for the advertisements. Right. That will be in November.
That is one of the raffles.
That is one of the raffles.
So maybe we'll win.
Try that.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Correct. There's lots of great raffles. I saw there's lots of local restaurants that have donated anywhere between $25 and $50.
Oh, awesome.
So it's not just like little tchotchkes that some people might find entertaining or that they like. There's actual gift certificates to restaurants and movie passes. Mm-hmm. I saw
McCaden Theater,
Upstage Productions. So you got a whole slew of things that they can find out on the Facebook page.
What a worthy cause. That's awesome to see the community rally around.
All of the money goes to American Cancer Society. So if anyone wants to donate, or even the modest fee that we charge for the table rentals, or the space rental, I should say, those payments are written directly to American Cancer Society. No monies are coming in to any individual or any private organization. So that's something to keep in mind.
Very good.
Well, that is awesome that you guys are continuing this, and I hope it continues to grow, and hopefully you surpass your goal of 6,000 this year.
I'm pretty sure we will. We're already at 3,000, so we're going to keep pushing.
Awesome. How much more time do we have left?
That's very good. We're down to our last 40 seconds. So we're going to say thank you guys
for
coming in.
Andy Baker, Christine Abitabel.
And happy birthday, Justin.
Thank you very much.
Everyone to check out the Day of Hope, Making Strides Against Breast Cancer fundraiser on Saturday, October 6th from 10 to 4 at the Greenport Town Park. So thank you very much for your efforts. That's awesome.
Yes.
Thank you for having us.
And thanks to Chris Taig for coming in.
Yes.
Appreciate listening to him, and if his opponent wants to come in, we'd love to talk to him as well. Our next show is on Wednesday, September 26th. I think I'll still be here.
Hopefully,
yeah. We're mum on that point, but it's great.